was very weak, and although she was abnormally thin, almost to the point of emaciation, and so pale that her skin looked translucent, it was still possible to realize that she had been a very beautiful woman. Her daughter Vanita was also thin, but she had the grace and beauty of youth, and now she stood up and held up a negligee for her mother's inspection. Of Indian muslin, with openwork embroidery, the gown was bordered with pale rose muslin and fastened with bows of the same material, while the trimmings were of point lace. The feminine garment seemed curiously out of place in the bare attic room, with its wooden floors and uncurtained windows. "You have made it beautifully, dearest," Lady Waltham said, "and let us hope they will pay you at once."
"I have been thinking, Mama," Vanita replied, "that I will not take it to the Maison Claret, but direct to the Princess Borghese herself."
"You cannot do that," Lady Waltham said, her voice a little stronger as she spoke in protest. "It would be dangerous. Besides, it was Maison Claret that ordered it."
"They cheat us," Vanita added. "They give us a mere pittance for everything we make, and charge their customers exorbitant sums."
"We should starve without them," Lady Waltham pointed out.
"We will starve anyway if we don't obtain more money for our sewing," Vanita replied. She spoke in the plural, although in fact it was only she who had been able to sew in the last few months. Lady Waltham had grown weaker and weaker, but they did not dare to send for a doctor, and Vanita knew it was not medical attention her mother needed, but food. It was in fact incredible that they had managed to survive for so long while living in hiding. Finally, having sold everything of any value they possessed, they had been forced to rely on what they could make with their fingers. It had been 2 years, Vanita thought, since they had come to Paris with her father, as had thousands of other English visitors, when the Treaty of Amiens had put an end to the years of hostility between France and England. The summer of 1802 had seen England relaxing in the sunshine of the Amiens Agreement. Worn out by 9 years of strife, crushing taxation and starvation prices, everyone rejoiced in the return of peace and plenty. Once the fighting was finished, the good-humoured British ceased to worry about Napoleon Bonaparte, the young conqueror of Austria and Italy, and even accepted his control of the Dutch coast. Tourists, who had endured the years of enmity and longed for the delights of foreign travel, flooded across the Channel, and the ports on either side were crowded with rank and fashion. Sir Edward Waltham had prudently waited until the first rush of excitement had abated, and it was not until the following year, in March 1803, that he, his wife, and daughter Vanita had set off for Paris. They had found the city as attractive as Vanita had expected, and were entertained by a great number of friends and acquaintances. They had seen the First Consul, Napoleon Bonaparte, at a diplomatic reception, and thought him an attractive, almost handsome man, very unlike the villainous cartoons they had seen in England, in which he had been depicted as a monster. It was therefore all the more of a shock when in May, when they were looking forward to a summer of levees, assemblies and balls, that the armistice came to an end. Napoleon Bonaparte was furious. The war he had intended had come, but too soon. By forcing the issue before his navy was ready, the English had regained half the ground they had lost in the peace. But the English abroad were not to be aware of what their government was doing, and 10,000 tourists were arrested and interned. Such an action, entailing the imprisonment of civilians, was contrary to all civilized precedents, and the British at home were appalled and shocked at this savage action. This, however, was no consolation for the innocent tourists, who found themselves dragged from their houses or the elegant hotels they had rented for the season. It was only because Sir Edward had a friend in the French government that he was warned about what was to happen 12 hours before the edict was put into operation. Hurriedly, he left, with his wife and daughter, for a house in a small, unfashionable back street, which let rooms to anyone who inquired for them and asked no questions.